Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
In 2016, we played with such intention early in the year. It was sort of clear that our group of guys were on a mission, and we showed up every night and made a statement that we were, you know, a team to beat, and that we were strong contenders for the World Series in our evaluation. And so we were, those opportunities don't come around all the time. Collectively, there's, there's a lot of strong character and a lot of supportive teammates in that room who emerges as a leader during a given period of time. I think with this group can fluctuate based on a number of factors, but that, this is a group that we trust.
That's the voice of Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Theo Epstein. He joined us here on the Mully and Hanley Show yesterday and had a lot of interesting answers. And he was clearly not satisfied with where his team is at currently. And even though they're four games over 500, they are in fourth place. And it looks a lot like last year at this time of year. And he expected different, he expected better, and he expected more consistency in the product on the field. And interesting, David Hall, though, that he said, he is frustrated, but he's optimistic. And
I think you can be both, right?
He said you could.
It's a very honest Theo Epstein. I thought he sounded a little bit more frustrated than optimistic yesterday, a little more direct. That's good. We like candor. But every human being can relate to you can be frustrated about something and yet hope for the best. You want to see the best.
And know there's better.
Yeah. It sounds like a parent. You know, it's like you're frustrated about various things about your child or your children, and yet you are hoping for the best because you've seen the best. You've seen the best in them and you want to see the best in them. And a baseball team the same way. The Cubs are going to be okay. The Cubs are going to respond eventually. That's what you keep telling yourself, because that's conventional wisdom. And plus, they have a track record to prove it. So it pays to be optimistic. They've earned that right. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. Yet it's very frustrating to watch at times. And you can't tolerate some of the things that they've been tolerating or they've been dealing with. Very inconsistent offensive team. It's feast or famine. You'd like them to be a little bit more consistent. And the starting rotation has got to be what carries this team, and I think what eventually will carry this team.
We know the bar is set so high in every respect, and look, Theo cleaned out the coaching staff basically at the end of last season, and they got to the NLCS, and a lot of fans are weighing in. I know you get responses via social media and email and such, and the frustration with Joe Maddon is palpable, and yet he's the guy who broke through the 108 years and led a team to a World Series, and a lot of people have no time for Joe Maddon right now. And yesterday when Theo talked about the character on the team, he also talked about 2 years ago playing with intention each and every night, that you knew you were the best, mm-hmm. and collectively as a group you had that mindset. And the last 2 years you kind of mutter around, and you have spasms of good and then spasms of bad and a lot in between until you got your stuff going in the second half. But talking about, okay, there's better on the roster, there's more talent here on the field, there's enough character in the clubhouse that doesn't lack for leadership, but knowing that all those questions come with what is a mediocre team right now, as Chris Bryant said, pretty average and underperforming, even though the record says above average. Is that at the manager's doorstep? How much of it is on the front office? Because, you know,
both.
To be fair, you go back, you got Justin Wilson, not Justin Verlander. You got Tyler Chatwood, who leads the league in walks right now. You've got Yu Darvish, who's right now the $126 million, or what do you have here exactly? Meanwhile, Jake Arrieta threw another gem, 2 days ago, and they're singing his praises. And Gabe Kapler's talking about the mindset the guy brings every day, that this guy just takes the ball, wants to throw a no-hitter every game. So, I mean, the front office isn't on a great roll either when you really look at the collective.
Well, it's a really good point. And when you Mully asked Theo yesterday about evaluating pitching and how difficult it can be, and I think he used Andrew Cashner as the example. And there's a lot of guys. And Theo's answer was how you don't really know. It wasn't a, you know, he sounds so certain about so many things when he talks. And he provides insight that so, you know, a lot of people can't provide. And yet, when you talk about projecting pitching, he sounds as uncertain as any of us. And I think that when you look at his recent track record, you kind of understand why. Because since last July, the Quintana deal is understandable. It was helpful. It was useful. But it wasn't Justin Verlander.
But he also said it was really for the future.
Yeah. But you're looking at that, and you said Justin Wilson versus Justin Verlander.
Right.
Okay, you didn't get Verlander.
Nope.
You went after Tyler Chatwood early in free agency to get the certainty that he has, you know, that you wanted him, and he struggled. You picked Darvish over Jake Arrieta, who I thought was the right choice. I think a lot of people in this town did. They missed Jake Arrieta. They respect what he accomplished, but Hugh Darvish was, to me, a sensible investment because Jake Arrieta, you thought he had the sense something bad was about to happen. Well, that doesn't look so good right now. So, yeah, there's reasons to look at the decisions made about the pitching with the Cubs and to, you know, distribute blame or responsibility evenly with the front office and Joe Maddon if people want to pick on Joe Maddon for where the Cubs are.
Let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767 is the number. John is in Rolling Meadows. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You know, the thing I've noticed, you know, and you know, I'm more of a Sox fan, but I'm looking at the Cubs situation, and everybody knows the pitchers look at tape and they adjust. Well, the Cubs are having trouble adjusting to the pitcher's changes at their approach towards them as hitters. And if you look at Rizzo, what I'm seeing is they're not pitching him inside as much anymore. They're not hitting him. They're pitching more outside to him from the middle out. And they're saying, if you're going to beat us, you're going to hit our pitch now. We're not going to give in to you. We're not pitching inside to you anymore. And that's why he's having problems, because he's swinging at pitches. Like the other day when he swung at that 3-0 pitch and popped it up to the third baseman, he's getting frustrated. He's trying to adjust, and the pitchers just keep adjusting to what he's trying to do. So it's a game of cat and mouse, and we'll see down the road what's going to happen with him. But he is obviously frustrated at what's going on.
Thanks a lot, John. You know, he's certainly having a frustrating season because you need better from Anthony Rizzo. I mean, as great as Chris Bryant is, others will argue that if Anthony Rizzo isn't leading the team in so many different ways, intangibles, but also being the stalwart of that team, you're going nowhere. There is a frustration factor there. But, you know, some people, we talked to Gordon Whitmire yesterday, because now the questions are, I think Mully asked Theo directly about, you know, does all the off-field stuff, that all the charity work, the foundation stuff, stuff that is just absolutely great in isolation, when you look at it and just say, this guy gives and gives and gives and goes to the hospitals and visits and goes out of town on off days and wants to help kids with cancer and, you know, share his experience of surviving it and all that, does that take a toll on him? And then Gordon Whitmire, so don't worry, there's the, you know, around the team, there's the first bus, the second bus, and the Rizzo bus that, it's not exactly, he's not the first guy in, the last guy out of the clubhouse. However it works, it's worked in the past for Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
But when a guy struggles here late May, in just as much as Jason Hayward,
everything goes under the microscope.
That's right.
I guess I understand that thinking. I would be very cautious in writing Anthony Rizzo off so early. His numbers have not been good. I think that he has struggled mightily. I don't necessarily connect the two with the off-the-field stuff, only because he has proven in the past that he has a tremendous capacity to balance both and to be the guy off the field that makes him, you know, the leader that he is in the, you know, for in the clubhouse, in the community. And yet,
when Joe was talking about John Lester's leadership the other day,
I
don't know if the question directly was basically, do you have, you know, do you miss David Ross? Do you miss John Lackey? But he talked about Joe incorporated those two in the answer, that when you have the outsized personalities, and obviously when they're playing with intention every night during 2016, those guys were front and center. Is there a leadership issue here where Chris Bryant's an understated guy, a quiet guy? He'll tell you they're playing pretty average and underachieving.
So you're saying if they were a hockey team, they'd be lacking some sandpaper or some grit.
I mean, I don't, you know, and Theo said.
It's a fair question. I mean, it's when you see what the Cubs are going through and, you know, even step further, going back to the Arrieta versus Darvish discussion. I mean, Arrieta was an edgy guy. He was. He gave the Cubs
game face 24/7.
There was an intimidation factor, an unspoken, intangible thing that went along with what he brought on the mound with his tremendous stuff that was relevant. And I don't know that you see that obviously on this Cub team so far. Maybe that's an element that has been missing. Maybe that's what Joe Maddon was alluding to, because Lackey, love him or hate him, and he was easy guy to not like from the outside, but inside everyone respected him.
Yeah.
Who's that guy this year? Who has filled that void? John Lester just is a natural guy to look at because of his success, because of his respect, but he's not as outwardly noticeable as a leader in that way. I don't know. Does a baseball team need that to succeed? Do they need that for consistency? David Ross provided it. John Lackey provided it.
I got a long memory.
Yes, he does. And those great white Cubs cowboy boots. What do you think? Do they need that? Do they lack that? 312-644-6767. Tech Zone busy, 670-11. Couple texters. How about this? Joe Maddon had as much to do with the 2016 World Series victory as Eric Spoelstra did with the Heat. Joe Maddon is Ned Yost with charisma. It's obvious they don't. They won despite Joe Maddon. Boy, Joe Maddon is really.
I don't agree with that. I think he's a guy that is open to second guessing. Certainly scrutiny comes with a job, but I don't know that I'm ready to say that he had nothing to do with 2016.
No. But what do you think? 312-644-6767 is the number. This segment of the Mully and Haley Show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You got Mully and Haley, David Haas sitting in for Mike on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I can say with regards to this particular spasm of media frenzy, it is outrageously outsized when you compare it to the reality of the situation. I mean, it's May. We're still figuring out who we are as a team this year. I understand, you know, it's natural for people to connect the dots and for there to be this kind of frenzy from time to time, but it is honestly something we're looking at and just kind of rolling our eyes at. And it is not like July, where every now and then, you know, there's a lot of coverage on deals that are actually being discussed or actually might happen. This one's just out there in fantasy land at this point.
As Theo Epstein, Cubs president, went on to say the talk without naming, we didn't ask specifically about Manny Machado because of the tampering issues, but he knew whom we were speaking. And he said the trade talk right now is nil.
Nil, yeah, and he implied that he might have pulled Addison Russell aside and let him know that.
Yeah, because it's not this general, you know, are the Cubs interested in upgrading the team? But
yeah, we get that. He's got to, you know, Theo's got to roll his eyes. They have to do that, and we've got to acknowledge.
But John Heyman's reporting that, you know, his sources say the Cubs are targeting Manny Machado, and we have a texter here. David, you want leadership? And then he goes ahead and rattles off the Manny Machado stats, the numbers to this point.
It was too much of a coincidence that he was in town, that the reports linked the Cubs to Machado, that you put two and two together and you speculate. That's part of what we do. That's part of the culture right now. There's no reason for anybody, if you're in the Cub front office, you're in the Cub clubhouse, I understand why that would be a potential nuisance, annoyance, distraction, whatever. But, you know, to look at Manny Machado, a 25-year-old superstar.
Yes.
That is playing in your baseball city with a team in town also with the Cubs that needs him. You could justify, you know, and it's been linked to him. Speculate away. I mean, it's there's nothing wrong with that.
You can connect dots, and that's what a lot of people do. And
you could even carry a sign to a game if you want.
And Theo didn't say that the dots won't ultimately be connected. He just said it's late May and that
it's early.
Yeah. Although Jeff Passan said right here on the Score the other day, he would make the case that if you're going to make that move, you make it now, not in the end of July.
It's a good case to be made.
Yeah. You need more of Manny Machado. If you're going to pay a premium for a rental player in an if come, whether he signs here or not or anywhere, the fact of the matter is you're paying that premium. You need as many games of Manny Machado.
His games matter.
Right. And they don't matter for Baltimore.
If you're only renting him for part of a season, every part of that season that you rent him
So it's a special player, a special case, and normally those players are not made available at this time of year or any time during a season. Let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. Hank is online. Good morning, Hank.
Hey, Hank.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm over Joe Maddon. he did more to hurt the World Series chances in Game 6 and Game 7 than he did to help. I think he might have been a guy for a young team who didn't know how to win, who needed a personality like him in the clubhouse. But I'm sick of his condescending attitude, bad hair dye, his smug little responses. I'm over it. I think that the guys have tuned him out now, and his act has grown stale in the media. It just he drives me crazy. I'm ready to move on.
Well, Hank, that's very interesting. I think that you can feel however you want to feel, but I think it's a mistake to equate the things about Joe Maddon's personality that may rub you the wrong way and may rub people the wrong way. You know, people have said he's condescending. There's some times where I would agree with that. At the other times, you can't dispute the success that he has had. A manager that has taken a team to 3 straight NLCSs and has had a track record of success that the reason he is here is because of what he did at Tampa.
I'm with you. You know, look,
baseball reasons you cannot justify wanting to get rid of Joe Maddon. It's nonsense.
Ultimately, you thought whichever manager, whoever was leading that team to a World Series with the Chicago Cubs, and Lou Piniella thought that would be his ticket to the Hall of Fame. If he got that final thing on his resume, that manager of Chicago Cubs, world champions, that would seal the deal for him. He couldn't get that done, obviously. You know, they'll be building a statue or ought to be building a statue of Joe Maddon at some point outside of Wrigley Field in Gallagher Way or wherever they're going to put it.
They'll have a sponsor for it, I'm sure.
Cubs Museum or whatever they're going to have up there. But it's amazing because Hank speaks for a lot of frustrated Cub fans.
No doubt. Now,
ultimately, we get the other side of the coin here, and I think hopefully the majority of people saying, you know, get over it. I mean, Joe Maddon did get you a championship, and I get that we dissected as much as anybody. No game 8, and you know it, whether he.
But it doesn't have to be black or white,
right.
Yes or no. You can scrutinize every move that Joe Maddon makes, and we can look at the lineups and say, "What in the world are you thinking there, Joe?" Without saying that he's got to go,
right?
It's not every day. Doesn't have to be a referendum on whether or not he is the right guy for the Cubs.
Because we had texters saying, "Why didn't you ask Theo if he's going to fire Joe?" Well, first of all, you're not going to get an answer to that
because you don't want him to think that you're stupid.
There's that.
Okay.
And the other part of it, Theo and Jed might question his lineups on a daily basis or once a week basis and talk, "Hey, Joe, what's your thinking here? Why are we doing this?"
I asked Dave. I asked Cap this question on Sports Talk Live last night. So if you get to the point, you brought up Jason Hayward, you asked Gammons about Jason Hayward,
right.
And it's a good question. How long can you stay with Jason Hayward?
Right.
Do you think that there's going to come a time and that Theo and Jed would say to Joe, you can't play him anymore. You can't start him anymore. How does that conversation go?
Or Joe says to Theo and Jed, I don't care what you're paying him. I've tried to run interference for him. I've tried him out there.
Where do you think each side stands?
I don't know.
Do you think they're in lockstep?
No, I don't. I mean, but you know, Joe has to manage the player and the outsize contract and
right.
I mean, he's a leader in that clubhouse.
Something's got to be done though,
right?
And where does that
right.
begin?
When
initiates that conversation?
And we talked about this before the season started. How much you know, how much rope do you give Jason Hayward to prove he's a different player? And, you know, initially it looked like it was going to be better, and then ultimately it looked like Jason Hayward again. And now you are in a seventh inning in a game that you desperately want to win because, you know, you're not putting 10 runs up on the scoreboard. And he can't take that at bat. Against a left-hand pitcher like Andrew Miller, certainly he can't take that at bat. So is Joe trying to keep, you know, rebuilding the confidence, which has now been a two-year process? Or is Joe saying, you know, hey, the guy's here and I'm going to play him, you know, because you we're paying him the money.
The day after the season last year, at Theo Epstein's end-of-the-season press conference, after they lost to the Dodgers, he used the word meritocracy when talking about Jason Hayward's 2018 season and how that would be applied. It hasn't been applied. It's been a myth. There's no meritocracy when you're hitting what Jason Hayward is hitting and is a continuation of the struggles since he's been a Cub. How do you justify the rest of the season every single day as if it were a given?
Right.
I just don't understand that. And so if that's not the case, where does the process start with having that conversation? Like, you know what?
This is who he is. And we can't have him in you know, when
he's not a liability, right? Offensively and defensively. Speaks for itself. He's a gold glove outfielder.
Yeah, right.
So with that dip, Joe, does that dip give you an opening if you're Madden, if you're Theo, if you're Jet, whoever wants to, okay, hey, you know what? He's not doing it defensively. So now this is our opportunity to sit him.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. Oh, you got Molly and Hanley, David Haw sitting in for Mike today. 312-644-6767 is our number. We're here until 9 o'clock, and before 9 o'clock, we're going to qualify two listeners for a chance to win $1,000, so stay tuned. Let's get back to the phones. Jim is on the northwest side. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Appreciate what you do, and was enjoying listening to your show today. First time I called in.
Well, don't be a stranger. Do it more often.
Cool. Just a little background. I've been a Cub fan since 1969, so you can tell how my Cub fandom started out.
Yeah, they crushed my 9-year-old heart that year, too, there, Jim.
Hey,
so.
Me too. I was 9.
Yeah.
So coming from that point of view, first of all, with Joe Madden, you know, I question the ability to think long-term of the people who say it's time to get rid of Joe because of what he's done. I mean, if you talk about meritocracy, you know, as you were a minute ago, Joe, I cannot think of anyone that I would rather have leading the Cubs right now than Joe Madden.
See, that's the next question, right?
Yeah. What's a better alternative? There really isn't one.
Yeah. I mean, look, we all get frustrated, as David said. The only question I would have, is there eye rolling going on in the clubhouse? Have the players started to tune Joe out? Did they not want to read the Mona Lisa or have it read to them? I mean, that's the most important thing. But the fact that we're sitting here talking about a guy who did, in fact, win a World Series and has taken them to the NLCS on an annual basis here, are we really discussing whether he's the guy moving forward this season? I mean, come on. Appreciate the call, Jim, don't be a stranger. We'll get back to your calls. 312-644-6767. Z's run a tight ship today. And so we gotta hit the break. You got Molly and Haley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Theo Epstein. He joined us here on the Molly and Haley show yesterday and sounded a little frustrated with his Chicago Cubs. Expects better, as do a lot of the fans, and via the text zone, we're seeing that, 670-11, and we're going back to the phones. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Before we do that, how about this? The keyword this hour is drop. It's time for a chance to win $1,000 here on the score. You want $1,000 in cash? Text the word drop to 72881. The number 72881. The keyword is drop. Do it by the top of the hour. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour is going to win $1,000. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Back to the phones we go. Let's check in with Bob, who's out there on the road. Morning, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Morning. You know, I should preface my remarks that I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I was taught three things. You don't cry, you don't tell, and you hate the friggin' Cubs. So my comments are about the Cubs. You know, trotting Jason Hayward out every day, I think, affects the credibility of the whole Cubs organization. Because, you know, last week we were talking about sending Ian Happ down. He's hitting 35 points higher. He's got about five more home runs and more RBIs. And they say nothing about Jason Hayward. And you know how many ball player, how many outfielders the White Sox had in my lifetime that were good field and no hit? I mean, you know, it to continue to trot him out there, like I say, affects the credibility. And I mean, I personally, I hope that Jason Hayward plays every day and he bats cleanup, you know, but
there's a Sox fan in you.
Yeah. Oh, is there a Sox fan? Yes. Yes. But anyway, it's just, there's no justification for playing him. I mean, you guys touched on it earlier. And I don't know, that'd be the first thing I'd ask Joe Madden and the whole Cubs organization. How can you continue to trot this guy out there? It's time to cut ship, you know?
You know, easier said than done, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Again, you have $184 million invested in Jason
Hayward.
That's
how many reasons you have to play him. That's
and
the
he
justification.
He has a no-trade clause, and he's not going anywhere. And, you know, when you make that decision, if and when you make that decision that now he is simply being benched, and how long does that go? I mean, how does he prove his worth in the batting cages? Does he go to an extended spring training? I mean, does he leave the team?
You wait for him to do what he hasn't done since he's been a Cub, and that is to get hot and go in an extended period.
But he spent a winter down in Mesa working on it.
I know. Everything is about
Chili
the mechanics.
Davis was going to solve him, right? I mean, John.
Well, the other thing we don't know. I think we kind of suspect, but the respect that he carries in the clubhouse we just talked about, you know, the leadership void that may or may not be there because of, you know, in successive years, David Ross has left, John Lackey has left. You know, the leaders are diminishing. You know, the guys who were obvious leaders, maybe the leadership is one of the factors that they...
And he never shows any lack of confidence. I mean, matter of fact, you know, Mark Gonzalez, your colleague, wrote the other week or so ago that he went up and tried to give him the silver lining type question, and so, you guys get way too high, way too low. I mean, he doesn't even allow that he has been in this kind of struggle for this prolonged period of time. It's not just this season, obviously. And he still is one of those guys, like you said, I think everyone in that clubhouse looks up to. But the fact of the matter is, you want to find 184 million reasons to love the guy, but how much... It's still May, as the texter points out. You know, maybe you bench him in October. You don't bench him in May. You're still trying to find that ball player in there that you thought you were signing, right?
You're still trying to get some sort of return on your investment,
right?
And you're not getting it. What effect would benching Jason Hayward have on the rest of the team,
or on him?
Well, on him, I think that he has. I think he has. He's strong enough mentally to overcome something like that. I think his confidence, as we have seen, you know, is going to survive a benching. You know, look, they sent Kyle Schwarber down last year. He came back and he was a different player, different hitter. Would benching Jason Hayward have the same sort of effect on him? Could he respond similarly? You would hope so. I think that...
See, I have no issue pinch hitting for him the other night. I mean, that should send a message. Hey, Jason, we can't do it here, okay?
Right.
You know, especially against a lefty like Andrew Miller. This is not your time. This is not your place. And unfortunately, you know that. We all know that. So here comes Elmore. Here comes Zobrist, whomever it's going to be. That's who we're going with. We're going to, you know, we believe we have a better option. And guess what? It's a better option.
Texter says it's hard to watch him try and hit. He just can't. It's painful to watch a guy struggle to the extent that he has struggled. And you can almost see every sort of... every thought being processed in his mind as he goes up to the plate and as he swings, and it's just so methodical and so
mechanical,
and it's so hard to see.
Let's check in with Joe. He's on the Northwest side. Good morning, Joe.
Hey,
Joe.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Always enjoy the show and the Score. It's a great, great place to listen.
God bless
you. But you know what, regarding, you know, who really gets the credit for the Cubs and their, you know, their teams, their championship? You know, it was Ricketts that hired Theo to run the Cubs, and signing free agents, minor leaguer system that we have now that's better than whatever it was before, seems to be. Trading for youth. You know, if you gave Joe Madden the team we had during the pre-Theo era we're having right now, Madden wouldn't have done much no matter what, okay? But Madden had basically a team built around him, you know. And he basically, you know, you could put things in cruise control when you're doing well. Just like in 2016, it was a magical year. It may never be duplicated again. Rarely does a team win 103 games or go on to a World Series, yet win a World Series. But some of the managerial moves that he makes, like the other night, you got runners on first and third. You got Baez up. I don't understand this squeeze bunt deal. Even if it's a double play, we tie the game.
Right. And all you got to do is put the ball in play there, right?
And not pulling Hayward for anybody, basically, you know, when you got that big left-hander on the mound for Cleveland. And I think it's some of the things like that that build on the fans. But I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I'm sure he's a people person. He's done a lot of good things, kind of put things in perspective. But sometimes I think he goes overboard. He crosses the line, and a lot of fans could see what's going on over here. Just like the other night, like I said, when the runner's on first and third. And sometimes he puts pitchers in there, takes them out too early, or he leaves them in there for too late. But I realize, you know, you don't want the bullpen to get beat up either, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Good call, Joe. It's a mixed bag.
That's the beauty of baseball. Yeah. I mean, good bad managers, and certainly as a Cub fan, you could name off a host of bad managers. Whatever in-game moves they make, and everything's so magnified with this team, in particular since the World Series. But Joe, that's the common complaint, right, from Cubs fans? It's too much Joe being Joe. Joe trying, like he's getting bored. He needs to insert himself into the game even more so, whether it's
Overmanaging. That's the easiest criticism of Joe Maddon.
Whether it's the lineup tinkering day in, day out, certainly, you know, everyone's got to get a different position, a different spot.
And he invites the kind of, scrutiny, or invites the sort of fans to criticize him when he says things like, you know, well, that's an non-sophisticated way of looking at a lineup. When you're criticizing or questioning the way he puts lineups together.
See, that's the first time I thought, David, that he kind of crossed the line.
Distanced himself?
Yeah, where all of a sudden it now is kind of, I'm in the pulpit, right? Before, it's the guy, even at the end of the World Series, I like barroom conversation. That's the beauty of baseball. I like second guessing. I'll talk about that.
Well, he was shot in a beer, Joe.
Right.
You know? And he went from being shot in a beer, Joe, to...
I know this. You know, I know much better than you guys do.
Exactly. And I think that distance continues to grow between him and the fan base. That is, you know, an uncomfortable distance if you're the Cubs, because... You this is a guy that when you look at evaluating him on the bottom line, pro sports is a bottom line industry. Three straight NLCSs. There's still a team that looks like they're capable of going to a fourth straight. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they can win the World Series this year. And you got people talking about wanting to, you know, move on Joe Maddon. Come on.
It's crazy.
It's lunacy.
And here's the other thing about that seventh inning. And we talked about it the day after. Okay. Debate the Baez bunt. Certainly, second guess the Hayward taking that at bat. But Baez could have laid down the bunt after swinging away on the first pitch. Addison Russell, could have done anything but strike out. Jason Hayward could have actually driven the ball down the line or into the even a duck snort or whatever you want to call it. The players didn't get it done either. And there's the last two games, 1-for-17 with runners in scoring position, and it goes back to the. Feast or famine. Everyone grab a bat because we're putting 12 runs up on the board today, and we're batting around in an inning, and then it's a couple of games, three games of crickets. So it's that at some point the players can execute.
Yes, true. But I did hate the squeeze.
Oh, everyone did.
I don't know how.
And then when I heard Andrew Miller said, I knew it's coming because I Joe at Tampa, that was automatic at that.
Right.
He always going to do that.
But with the NL leader and RBIs at the plate.
That's crazy.
I just didn't.
And look, I know he's swinging out of his shoes again more often than not. And still. When he went after, when they had the confrontation in Cincinnati, he's 2-for-22 with 11 strikeouts. So he's frustrated at that point as well. But he can drive the ball into the seats. He can certainly drive a double, even just a base hit. A sack fly would have been fine there, too. I mean, just to get the one run.
Contact.
Yeah. What a man. Bill's in Montgomery. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I get tired of listening to all these rocket scientist manager wannabes we have on the phone. I mean, what he did with Tampa Bay, what he's done with the Cubs, like you say, three straight NLCS. I mean... Okay, like you say, who do you get in here to replace him? And the squeeze bump might have actually been a smart idea because nobody else was hitting the ball. You got to manufacture a run somehow. He can put everybody out there, but if they're not hitting, what do you expect him to do? It's not him. He's trying to balance the team as best he can.
Well, I don't think that's the best example to defend Joe Maddon, but I do agree with you that these are isolated things that you can look at and poke at, and you know, when they're not hitting consistently, certainly it gets magnified. I don't know that I want to.
You go from there to see you later, Joe. Tell your story.
Yeah, that's a pretty big leap.
John's on the line. He's in LaPorte. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Yeah, you can advocate for Joe to leave because he's the one who's preaching take a day off. He's the one who's preaching no batting practice. He's the one preaching a dispassionate approach to the game. There's no mentality like an AJ or a Pierzynski or a Yadier Molina on there. There's actually no passion from the players to play the game every day.
That comes from
the top.
Are you saying that Wilson Contreras does not play with passion?
Pretty much. He doesn't play with the passion every day.
Oh, please.
And then because he takes from the manager, please. Because the manager says we're tired, because the manager has excuses, because the manager has this opposite approach to go out there and do your best every single day. That's the message that comes from Joe Maddon.
Joe Maddon was still the manager when they, as Theo said yesterday,
yeah,
2016, we played with intention every night.
Right.
Okay. Now, Joe was still at the end of the bench there, that right? But was that more organic? Was that from the players?
I don't buy anything that John just said about right. Joe Maddon. But I think that when you look at 2016, Brian, they played with intention because what? They hadn't won anything yet.
Right.
They hadn't won anything yet. And it's fair, if you want to ask this question, that after 2016, they had sort of an organizational exhale. I think that's fair.
Fine.
And it's understandable. Look at Cub fans. You're a Cub fan, and I know a bunch of Cub fans that look at it this way. Anything that happens this year, they always can take solace in the fact that they won it all in 2016. The World Series victory still provides cover for a lot of things that go wrong now. It's human nature that maybe that has trickled down and with the team. They don't flip a switch until they have to flip a switch. Theo alluded to it during your interview yesterday.
Yeah. But and not only that, he said that it's okay. There are going to be years when you're mediocre, but you know what? We don't want 4 or 5 years, which is weird to say. They were in the NLCS, but because the offense didn't show up in the postseason last year either, it's almost remarkable.
That season ended, and people were like, it was a failure of a year because they didn't get to the World Series.
They fired all the coaches, so they felt
right.
the same way,
and that's the standard that they have set.
See,
now they
got to
meet it. So
we'll get back to the calls in just a little bit. 312-644-6767. You got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.